All right. Here we go. Another edition of Talking Dodgers. We're talking your 2024 World Series champion Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by Rotcha Brain Media and sponsored by Command Creative Studios. Looking to jump into the podcast world, start making your own content? Command Creative Studios is your one-stop shop for professional podcasts. With a team of audio engineers, music composers, and graphic designers, Command Creative Studios can get your podcast sounding professional as well as looking professional. For more information, please visit CommandCreativeStudios.com. Don't forget to click that like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus.
Like a virus.
All right. Mike, before I jump into anything else, how are you doing? We've had some time off. We've had some time to reflect on the, you know, the World Series. And how you feeling?
I'm good, man. We won it. It was hectic, you know. It was a hectic postseason and a little bit hectic stretch to get into the postseason. But I think I had a good chance to reflect on the greatness that is the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers of 2024.
Right.
Pretty stoked on that. And I think the team looks promising based on some of the news that's coming out for what the team might look like in 2025.
Yeah. I mean, we're gonna dive in a little bit in this episode talking about key re-signs that I think that we think the Dodgers should do. We'll talk about free agents next episode, but I think I want to just dive a little bit into like what's happening currently with the team and then who we want them to keep and stuff like that. So this is, by the way, Max will not be joining us this episode. He's still recovering from a rough weekend of fantasy football. So hopefully we'll get him next weekend. All right. So player spotlight, let's see. Three Dodger players were named Silver Slugger Awards. Mookie Betts is moving back into the infield. We're going to talk a little bit about Soto, should the Dodgers go after him, key Dodger re-signs, and then maybe touch a little bit on Dodgers going six-man rotation. It's finally been announced. So let's jump in. Actually, before we do that, Dodgers already picked up some of the options on two players, Austin Barnes and Miguel Rojas. I'm a little surprised on these two. Not so much Rojas, more Barnes. And the reason why I'm a little shocked on Barnes is because he, in my opinion, does not bring much to the team anymore. And they have two backup catchers kind of sitting in the wings. One of them is supposed to be a really big slugger, Diego Cartea. And then you got Hunter Fiducia sitting right there. It's just Barnes. He's not a big hitter. He's got a noodle arm. His framing is not, you know, super spectacular anymore. And one of the reasons why the Dodgers always seemed like they kept him around was because he called good games supposedly, and he was a good framer. But with what Smith showed during the postseason, when the Dodgers went on that, I think it was what 33 innings of scoreless baseball pitched, against the Padres and against the Mets. And that was all Smith calling those games, going from his gut, obviously, you know, going over the game plan and stuff and kind of attacking the pitchers how they should, but he had to make adjustments with the pitchers.
His framing was on point, sure.
His framing still bothers me, but his pitch calling was really good. So what's your take on this? Like, how do you feel? I mean, I'm just shocked about Barnes.
I agree with you. I don't know what use we have for him any longer. I hate saying it. I mean, I just don't know what use we have for him. I kind of agree with you on that. I just don't. Like, I would think if we're going to have a backup catcher, you want an up-and-coming young guy.
Yes.
And give them some reps. I just don't. I mean, I think Austin Barnes is average at best. Like, he just doesn't. I don't know. I'm kind of surprised by it, too.
I'm actually curious what you think he's average at, because every single thing that I've seen from him, at least the last couple of years. Granted, his hitting was a lot better this year. I will give him that. He did actually put the bat on the ball a little bit more, but his arm is getting worse. I don't know. Like, it didn't make any sense for me. I understand he's a
vet. I mean,
he's a veteran. He's a team captain. Yeah. I get that. I mean, his contract's not even that. It's not that big. His contract's not a huge contract. It's kind of chump change, I guess you could say that, when it comes to the Dodgers. So it's not like they're breaking the piggy bank to hold on to him.
Sure.
Maybe he has a really big clubhouse presence where they think that it will be lost. I'm not buying this whole they keep him around for Kershaw kind of thing. I don't think that's really necessary anymore. I don't know. Like, I'm a little shocked. Going over to Rojas, so I understand Rojas just because he's a quality backup shortstop. Rojas has never been intended to be the starting shortstop the last 2 years. He became the starting shortstop because the first year was because Lux got injured, so he got thrusted into being the starting shortstop that year. And then this year he became a starting shortstop because Lux couldn't handle shortstop, and then Mookie Betts got hurt. So that's once again why, I mean, he had a great year as far as, I think it was probably his best offensive numbers ever. But at the same time, I don't think that's, the plan is not for him to be the starting shortstop. So
no, I think he's a clubhouse guy. I think he's a clubhouse guy. You saw him in that World Series celebration where Doc was bringing Ross to talk to the team about the win. So obviously he meant a lot to the team, you know, behind the scenes and in the clubhouse, it seemed like. But yeah. I mean, he's not elite level, you know, starting shortstop. So
defense wise, he is, but it's just,
you think he's elite level shortstop?
Yeah, Rojas. Yeah, Rojas is elite level.
I don't think he's better than Tommy Edman.
I think maybe he might have lost a couple steps. Granted, you got to keep in mind also, it came out that he was playing injured a lot throughout the season.
True. He's always
been a really great shortstop.
Who would be, well, to me right now, Tommy Edman would be your starting shortstop. Would you agree?
I would agree. We're going to break that down when we talk about Betts, like what the possibilities could be. If the season started tomorrow, I would think it would be him. There is still a small possibility it could be Betts. I'm going to talk about why it shouldn't be Betts, but I don't think it would be. Rojas would not be the starting shortstop.
Gavin Lux be your starting shortstop?
I mean, maybe. Well, we'll talk about it. Let's
some good subjects to see how it unfolds with Mookie. I mean, one of the subjects you get into is with Mookie Betts moving to second base, the infield is going to change up the whole dynamic of the team and how we build it this offseason. It's going to be interesting.
That is definitely true. All right, let's before we jump into that, let's talk about our three Silver Slugger Award winners. Let me get my video playing. All right, here we go. Did I press play? No, I missed it. There we go.
That's all right.
All right, so here we go. So Teoscar Hernandez, he wins Silver Slugger for the Dodgers. Left field, outfield, hit 33 home runs, 339 OPS or OBP, 501 slugging percentage. He also had an 840 OPS. Let's not forget also he won the home run derby. That doesn't account to getting a silver slugger, but it's pretty darn impressive. Then Shohei Ohtani gets DH, not a single surprise there. First 50-50 club member, 54 home runs, 59 stolen bases. I mean, he's going to win MVP. Most likely it'll be unanimous for a DH. So for him getting the silver slugger, I'm sure everybody saw that coming. The one that shocked me because I didn't even think about it is Mookie Betts getting utility silver slugger. Because he was injured most of the season. Not most of the season. I think he missed like 2 months, maybe a little bit more than that. He started off as the shortstop. He played some second base, kind of going back and forth a little bit, but mostly he was primary shortstop. But then when he came back, he was primary right field, which put him in the category of a utility player. I didn't even think he had enough at-bats to get that. But then if you look at all the other utility players, the competition wasn't very strong in that category. So it made a lot of sense. He batted, he had an OPS of 863, and he had 19 home runs. For a guy who missed like 2 months of baseball and still had 19 home runs, that's pretty darn impressive.
Yeah, I'm not surprised with Mookie. I mean, I'm surprised because, and on the surface, I felt like he missed like half the season.
Yeah, it did feel like that, right?
Yeah, it felt like he was gone a lot. So,
what's that? 3 months. I mean, it felt like it was forever that he was gone.
Yeah, I mean, his history as a batter, I'm not surprised. And I guess he fits in the utility slot for that. But I'm not surprised. I mean, all three of those guys were slugging the ball year long, especially when it came playoffs. I don't know if they take the playoffs into consideration with this, but
right.
Nonetheless, that's huge. Hopefully, we get Teoscar back.
Think about this, though. The other positions that you would think that you would have a Dodger in the running for a Silver Slugger, they all had down years.
Freddie Freeman?
Freddie Freeman had a down year. I think he batted like maybe it was like 283 or something like that. Somewhere around there. He was all, I mean, he also had issues with his kid. He took some time off the team to deal with that. Rightfully so. Will Smith started off strong at catcher. Like the first month, he was like one of the best players on the team. And then he fizzled away. And then he was pretty much not heard from for quite a while. His numbers were pretty low or pretty down for him. And then you have Max Muncy in at third base, who got hurt after like the first month or second month, and he was out for quite a while.
Yeah.
So those three key positions, they weren't really around, like playing their top baseball through the season. And yet the Dodgers still had the best record in the league. So if you can get more, a little bit more of a contribution for those guys going into next season, which is not unheard of, it's not unlikely it's going to happen. You know, a lot of things could go right for them.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see. Max wants you to stay healthy, but him and Will Smith, if they could become all-star caliber hitters, would be in even better shape than we already are.
Yeah, I really think the key for Muncy to, you know, not get injured might be getting in some better shape.
Yeah, I could. Yeah,
I don't like to say it, but at the same time, it's like you're like as you get older, and you're like. More weight you got on your body, the more likely you're going to like hurt something. So it'd be nice to see him slim down a little bit more before the start of next season.
Hey, you can't pull fat.
You can flex it though. Let me tell you. All right. It's a good time to remind everybody to click that like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus.
Like a virus. You can find us on Twitter or actually X. I keep saying that.
X, Instagram, Facebook. Also, we're on YouTube. If you want to see our pretty faces. I just shaved,
faces.
So it looks a little nicer. All right, so let's move on to the next category, Mookie Betts. All right, so it came out last week or 2 weeks ago, probably last week. Mookie Betts will be moving back into the infield. The Dodgers did not say specifically which position he'll be playing, but they did say shortstop or second base. So I've been saying it, I don't know, since the beginning of this season, maybe midway through the season, that second base is where they're going to be putting Betts. And the plan for Betts was always to go and play second base because the Dodgers want to protect their investment. And Mookie Betts is an investment for this ball club. And so the best way to protect him is put him in a position where he doesn't have to use his legs as much. As he gets older, you don't want him running around as much. When he's in the outfield and you're sprinting real hard to get to a baseball, or he's just running out there, running back and forth. It's a lot of wear and tear on your legs. The plan was always to put him at second base, move to shortstop to start this season, last season, wherever we're at now. So the beginning of 2024 season, because Lux couldn't handle shortstop because he was still coming back from his injury. So I really think that it's not going to be a move back to shortstop. The move is going to be to second base. So with that said, let's just say that they do what I think that they're going to do, or maybe what you think as well. I haven't even asked you what you think that they should do. What does that do for the Dodgers' plans through, you know, the offseason? Well, Mike, first of all, do you agree with second base or do you think that they're going to push him to shortstop?
No, well, I think they're going to put him at second base, but I think the bigger picture of this is, yes, I agree with saving his legs, longevity, and not running so much. But I really think in the big picture, we already know he can hit. I mean, he won Silver Slugger, for gosh sakes, and he went on a tear. And, you know, the NLC, well, in the playoffs.
Really?
The latter part
through.
Of the, yeah. Well, he struggled a little bit in the first two series, but, I mean, nonetheless, he came alive.
No, he struggled in the first two games.
Then came alive.
Then
sorry,
he came
yeah.
Alive after that.
But, yeah, he was, what, 0 for 14 or something?
Yeah.
In the first couple games or leading into this postseason, but they came alive and had some huge clutch hits for us. I think he even had, what, a sacrifice fly to give us a game-winning RBI and the clinching game five.
Yep.
But I think what it really does for the team is if we move Mookie to second base, it improves that spot in the lineup. And then in free agency, we could pick up a right fielder who's a big bat. And I think it helps the lineup overall. I think Gavin Lux's time is going to be short-lived in L.A. I hate saying that, but I feel like you move Mookie to second, maybe you trade Lux, and then we find another shortstop, or you put Edmund at short and then find a big-time center fielder and a right fielder, or maybe Outman becomes a center fielder that we thought he'd be and becomes a starting center fielder, and we pick up a right fielder. I like the move. I think it makes our lineups that much stronger depending on what moves we make this offseason.
Right.
For right field.
Well, I agree with the, obviously, Betts is shortstop. I'm sorry, Betts is second base. The Lux factor has always been kind of a, it's been interesting because Lux was always supposed to be the shortstop for the Dodgers. There was a kind of a, blockage kind of going on at shortstop when you had Corey Seager was playing shortstop. And then when Seager left, you had Trey Turner. Trey Turner went to shortstop. And then after Trey Turner, was supposed to be Lux's time to shine. Now, it's
he
not.
Didn't,
I mean, he didn't. Well, he got hurt the first two games of preseason or of the preseason. And then it was, you know, season ending surgery. And so you basically spent all this year kind of rehabbing to kind of come back in order to play. So it's not like it's not like Lux just learned how to play shortstop. Lux was supposed to be the shortstop. Obviously the Dodgers saw the ability in him to play an everyday shortstop before he got injured. They saw that ability, you know, to be able to make the play. His biggest issue right now was making the throw from shortstop to first base. He was able to do that before he got hurt. What I think we're going to see is the Dodgers might give him another shot. I think that's probably what we're going to see. Well, I think that's an option. The one option is the Dodgers give him another shot to try shortstop. But this time it's like, hey, you can't make it happen. We've got Tommy Edmonds under contract. Tommy Edmonds just comes in and he becomes the everyday shortstop. Okay, that's one option. They might just go, you know what? People have seen Lux play second base. They know he's a good second baseman as far as defense-wise now. And he didn't hit bad. I mean, he started the season off pretty bad, but then halfway through the season, I think after the All-Star break, he became one of the hottest hitters for the Dodgers.
He did, yeah.
So you could probably get a decent amount for him right now in a trade. You could probably get a couple good relief pitchers. I'm not sure if they're looking for any everyday infielders I don't think they could get anything for that. I think it would just be relief pitching if that's what the Dodgers are looking for.
So before we get too crazy, so I just want to throw this at you. Is Tommy Edman has to be in the starting lineup? Is he a center fielder or a shortstop? Where would you put Tommy Edman? Because to me, wherever Tommy Edman plays every day is going to impact what the plan is for Gavin Lux.
I think the plan for Gavin Lux is going to dictate if Tommy Edmonds is playing center field or shortstop. Either way, he's going to be in the lineup. I think that's what's going to dictate is just which position he's going to be playing. Because you only have Tommy Edmonds for one more year, and then that's it. Unless they re-sign him, or they give him an extension, which I wouldn't be opposed to it. So we weren't supposed to dive too deep into free agents, because the next option is you go out and you get yourself the shortstop that you get a Willy Adames, which is the kind of the hot name right now.
Yeah.
So let's just say the Dodgers get rid of Lux. They say, hey, thank you for your time. See you later. They trade Lux. And then they pick up Willy Adames. And then he's your starting shortstop. Then you have Tommy Edmonds in center field. That's an option. I will go out and say this. Before our next episode next week, I will say that if the Dodgers they didn't pick up any free agents at all except for just re-sign their players, meaning like which we're going to talk about, you know, Kike and Walker Buehler and Teoscar, that they only re-signed those and then just stuck with everybody else that they have either coming up in the wings or who's already in the majors, the Dodgers to me are still the front runners to win the World Series again. I don't think they need to go out and get a Willy Adames.
I agree. Now,
That having said that, he batted .251 last year, 31 home runs. His OPS was .793. I mean, that's really good. Is that elite? When you look at the players we already have, it's kind of like, I don't know. I feel like we could squeak by without something like that. So
if they re-sign Kike, is he your starting shortstop?
if they re-sign, what I would like them to do, if they re-sign Kike, I like Kike floating around, to be honest with you.
Same, but you could interchange Kike and Tommy Edman and Lux, depending on, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, you could do, I mean, I would put Kike could play your center field, Kike could play a shortstop, yeah. He's played both, he's played second base, he's played third base, the guy could play anywhere. We're in a good spot. The thing with Kike, though, is that he's known for his postseason, not his regular season. So I just want Kike for the postseason, to be honest with you. And we're going to get into Kike, which we can start doing that stuff a little bit right now. But I think Kike, once he got his glasses, he became a different player. He became a guy that I think you could make him an everyday player. And that might be something that the Dodgers look at. So, but anyways, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in this next couple weeks for the offseason, because I think you will start to see what the Dodgers are going to do with the infield by what they do with Lux or if they pick up a shortstop. Either way, Betts is going to second base, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think
he's going
right
to second
there.
Base.
Yeah, I agree.
There is another small possibility that Betts works so hard at shortstop. Betts says, hey, I want another year at shortstop, and they put Betts at shortstop. And you still trade Lux and you put Tommy Edmonds at second base. And then you can flip flop him at some point because Tommy Edmonds is a Gold Glove winner at second base. So
yeah, I don't think we necessarily need Mookie Betts to play shortstop, to be honest.
We have
a lot of pieces. Like,
I know.
There's a lot of interchangeable parts at shortstop where we don't need him to play short.
Well, it's also one of the great things about the Dodgers is the Dodgers themselves, as far as their players are so interchangeable. If you can go through their players and you can go, this guy could play majority of them can play multiple positions. You could start Muncy. Muncy, in my opinion, was a Gold Glove first baseman until he got hurt. He plays a really good solid second base, and he plays a good solid third base now. I mean, we could say that. Tommy Edmonds, he could play shortstop, he could play center field, and he could play second base. Mookie Betts, second base, shortstop, right field. Kike Hernandez, everywhere except for catcher. You know what I mean? They have players that can play multiple positions, and that's what's kind of exciting about it, because what are they going to do with these players? What are they going to do? But either way, we're going to find out soon, because either the Dodgers pick up a shortstop or they trade Lux. That's going to let us know which direction they're going to be going. And I've been a fan of Lux, but I'm also not opposed to moving Lux to get another more pieces to make the Dodgers a little bit, you know, thicker around the bullpen. I think the bullpen, in my opinion, is going to be the biggest key. I think starting pitching, which we could talk about that. I think the starting pitching is going to be lock solid next year. I really think it's now just make sure the bullpen is there so that way this offense can really thrive.
Yeah, Lux is the odd man out right now. He's got to prove it.
I agree.
It's crazy to think that, though, because he was supposed to be the future shortstop for a decade. For a while, for sure.
He was supposed
to be the guy, and
yeah,
it's not looking that way. But I mean, I guess that's just part of the way baseball is. You know, some guys don't pan out, or just the team's so good, one of the better players just isn't in the cards for the future.
Yeah, no, I agree. All right, let's move on to our next topic. Juan Soto. So, should the Dodgers go get Juan Soto? So, I think that I've not hid my feelings towards Juan Soto too much the last, I would say, month or so. But I will say it again, and just to kind of reiterate every single thing. I know, I think something came out, it was either today or yesterday, on the top four teams that Soto's looking at, which I believe it is, I think it's the Red Sox, Yankees, Mets, and I can't remember the third. I think it was the Blue Jays was the fourth one. But then another thing came out earlier or midway through today that he still wants to meet with the Dodgers. So I don't think that there is any reason whatsoever to go get Juan Soto. Granted, his bat, he's an amazing hitter. I will give him, there's no question about that. He's an elite baseball hitter for absolute sure, 100%. But every single thing else that I've seen from him as far as his defense and his attitude, I think is just a bad fit for the Dodgers. And his asking price is, I think with what he's looking to get, which I think they're saying it's $500-600 million, whether we're going to do another Ohtani deferred money situation, I think you could go get three or four really, really good players for that kind of money. I just don't see any benefit for getting him. If you re-sign Teoscar, which we're going to talk about that in a little bit, you re-sign Teoscar, you have Emmons in center, or you have Paez in right, or you have Outman, or you say you go get another like 1 or 2 year guy who's going to give you kind of be another Teoscar Hernandez, what he did. Like, so, there's so many other options you could do instead of going getting Juan Soto. I just think that would be more beneficial, and I think it would hurt the Dodgers in the long run by getting him. My opinion, Mike. What do you think about that?
I don't think I don't think he fits the clubhouse. I don't think he fits in with the team chemistry. As great of a baseball player as he is, I just don't think he would gel well with the team. I don't think they need him.
I heard someone say, because I didn't really pay attention.
I appreciate him as a baseball player. And would I be upset if we got him? No. But I just don't know if he fits in the team chemistry. Like, I just, there's a vibe about him that there's a little bit bigger ego than team. And I feel like right now, after what we saw, the fact that we went in the World Series with three starting pitchers, like, we gelled as a team, and I just don't know if he would fit in that locker room.
I heard somebody, I didn't really pay attention much to Juan Soto when he was with the Nationals. When he went to San Diego, obviously we got to see him a lot more because it was a division rivalry. And you see a lot, like, his attitude when he hits, this whole thing when he walks, he, like, stares down the pitcher. I don't know if anybody's noticing this. Like, there's, like, these little things where he could be, like, a great guy outside of baseball or whatever the case is, but there's, like, these little things that kind of, like, rub me the wrong way.
Yeah, which, like, normally, showing up the pitcher. Like, come on, dude.
Look,
like,
if you hit a home run and you want to stand there and admire that you just knocked one out of the park, I love that kind of stuff. I love any of that kind of stuff. Like, I just love it. Like, but there's something about, like, when you get the walk and you just stare down the pitcher, like, What are you trying to prove there? Like, it's a little petty. And then, like, the whole little shimmy shake thing, like, yeah. Like, it's, now maybe that might be a little bit of my old school coming out, but it's just, there's something about that vibe where I think it is singular, where he's thinking more about him individually than he is about his team, which I could be absolutely totally wrong. And that's just the way it comes across. And it's not
the, if the Dodgers sign him, I hope you're wrong.
If the Dodgers sign him, I feel like there's a lot of conversations happening in the background before they sign him about what they're looking for in a player.
I think he goes to the Blue Jays, or yeah, it's Blue Jays, Yankees, or Mets.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I mean, I would love
I don't it. See him coming here.
I would love it if he stays with the Yankees. I think Yankees are a good fit for him. I think that organization loves him. I think that fan base loves him. So yeah. I think that'd be pretty good from there. And it seems like he's very comfortable there.
He also could be playing the Yankees to get a big contract out of him by shopping around and, you know.
Well, sure.
The season wasn't even over yet. And he's saying, well, I'm going to play, see what my options are in free agency. Like,
well, he's a Boris client also. So he's going to go for top dollar.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, that's my piece. I don't think the Dodgers should go get him.
I agree. What do you guys think? Leave us a note on one of our money social media channels.
Yeah, yeah.
Let us know what you think. I don't think we should grab them either.
All right. So this is the last topic we're going to talk about. Well, we might jump into, we're trying to keep these episodes 30 minutes to 40 minutes, a little bit leaner in the off season. But, you know, if we're feeling it, it might go a little bit longer. Let's move on to our next subject. So, key Dodgers to re-sign. My top three. They're in no particular order. If I had to put them in an order, I'd probably put Buehler number one, just because it's more of a love sentimental kind of thing. But there's four players. One for sure is re-signing, which we know that, which is Clayton Kershaw. He opted out of his deal to work a more friendlier deal for the team. I think he felt that because he was going to have surgery, didn't want to be locked into it. But he's already come back and said that he's going to re-sign with the Dodgers. And the Dodgers said they're going to sign him. They just have to work out a new deal. My hope is it's a 1-2 team option. So that way, if he comes back and he has a really good bounce back year, that they can get him for one more. Because, I mean, he's not really that old. And
if he's going to walk away, he's got to walk away on his own terms. Like, we can't cut him. Like he said.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's a legacy, like lifetime Dodger, like one of the greatest to ever wear the uniform.
But he's also still a really good pitcher. Like we always keep talking about Kershaw. I'm going to pull up his stats really fast just so we could just kind of break it down a little bit. It's not like Clayton Kershaw is pitching like he's on his last leg. Like the guy still puts up top quality numbers.
No. Well, yeah. And he's got
load.
I mean, and with the rotation, you know, going to be next year, he doesn't need to be a number one anymore.
It's a 9-man rotation.
Well, so he doesn't need to be number one anymore.
No, and I don't think he has any, like, illusions that he's going to be the number
one.
No,
I just think he wants to be a contributing fact.
He wants to contribute, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. So, with the exception of, you know, this year, he went 2-2 with a 4.50 ERA. And he had his moments when he looked pretty darn good, but he was still coming back from that shoulder injury. He didn't really kind of get his groove in. Came back midway through the season. Didn't pitch a lot. But year before that, ERA. So he was 13-5. His ERA is 2.46. Year before that, 12-3, 2.28. So that is 2022 and 2023. He still pitches really good. He may not have his 97-mile-an-hour fastball anymore, but he pitches smart. He hits his location, hits his spots most of the time. And his slider is still one of the best sliders in the league. So if you can get Kershaw back and he's your sixth man in your rotation, like, dude, if you told me Clayton Kershaw is going to be your sixth man in rotation, he's going to have you maybe a 3.5 ERA. Probably I still think he's going to be under three. But, dude, that is amazing. If you can get Kershaw for that in your sixth man rotation, that's great. And the way I think things are going to shape up a little bit, because he is having surgery on his foot or his toe, I think he's getting something clean up in his arm. It might be he doesn't come back until 2 months into the regular season or something. So I think you'll have another well-rested Kershaw, but this time I think he's playing for fun. He's playing to get the strikeout lead or not the strikeout lead, just playing to get to 3,000 and then move on from there. So I think it'll be, I'm excited about it. So I think Kershaw obviously is on your list. Next on the list though is Teoscar Hernandez. So what Teoscar proved to I think everybody that's a Dodger fan is that he knows how to play. He knows how to hit in the clutch. Not only can he perform in the regular season, he definitely can perform in the postseason. And he's a really likable dude. He's smiling all the time. It looks like he's having a lot of fun. It seems like the players love him. It seems like the management loves him. Everybody has nothing but nice things to say about him. And then when I watch him play, it just reminds me of looks like a guy who just loves playing baseball and just wants to be out there having fun. That's the guy that's the player I want the Dodgers to have. Not a Soto, a Teoscar Hernandez. If you were to tell me right now if I had to choose between Teoscar Hernandez and Juan Soto, I pick Teoscar Hernandez. I would love the Dodgers to get him to a 3-4 year deal and just run with it. Then you got a solid third or a left fielder, possibly right fielder if Betts comes in second base. Teoscar plays really good right field, apparently, so move him to right field. There you go. Now you got that spot filled. What do you think, Mike? Should we re-sign Teoscar Hernandez?
Oh, 100%. He's got swag. I like him. He's the team just had great chemistry. Again, I said it earlier. He fits the team. We talked about it pre-episode. I'm like, I agree on all your points. I don't really have any rebuttals on all this. We got to sign Teoscar. You know Clayton Kershaw's coming back. But I think it'd be a punch in the gut if Teoscar doesn't resign.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big hole to fill. But I know that GM said yesterday, or I think I read it this morning, their top priority is re-signing Teoscar. Like right after the series, they want to get into negotiations.
Good, good. Because I think he has definitely earned being a Dodger.
Can't deny it. I mean, won the Home Run Derby, Silver Slugger, right?
Silver Slugger,
yeah, and like, came a clutch baseball player. Like, we need to Teoscar Hernandez being a Dodger uniform for 3 to 5 years, for sure.
Agreed. All right, let's move on. Kike Hernandez. So Kike, you know, came up with the Dodgers. Did he come up with the Dodgers? I'm pretty sure he came up with the Dodgers. I'm gonna look that up because I said that before, and I feel like maybe I got it wrong. Let me look at that really fast. Sorry about
that.
That's
okay. We should, I mean, Kiki needs to be re-signed as well. I think he's going to be number three on this list. But I hope he comes back because he likes being in L.A.
Number three priority?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's, out of your list here, I think he's going to be number three out of this priority.
Yeah. So, no, he didn't come up with the Dodgers. He was actually with Houston first, then Houston and Miami, and then he came to the Dodgers. But since 2015, he was with the Dodgers until 2021, where he went to Boston for 3 years. Or 2.5 years, and then came back to the Dodgers for last year and then also this year. What Kike has shown is that he is an amazing postseason player. He can play every position on the field. We talked about it a little bit, including, you know, coming in on a blowout as a relief pitcher. But he plays pretty strong defense. Maybe some positions obviously better than others, but it's pretty close to elite level defense, at least from what I've seen.
He's a clutch player. I don't think he's replaceable, to be honest.
I think what he is what I think that the Dodgers wanted Chris Taylor to be. And he's just,
I was going to say the exact same thing.
Yeah. Something happened with Chris Taylor where maybe he needs to go to the same optometrist that, Kike went to kind of figure out his eye situation or something, because ever since Kike went and got his eyes checked out and figured out he had that, was it a stigma or whatever it is?
Yeah.
Dude, he's hitting the ball. He's not getting fooled on sliders. He's seeing the spin. He's not swinging low and outside as much as he was anymore. He's making his hard contact is up. Everything is up.
Him and Tommy Edman were the prior most consistent guys in the lineup, I would say, through the playoffs.
Pretty darn close.
And Mookie,
yeah.
Of course. But
yeah, yeah. I mean,
those guys were solid, clutch hitters.
Yeah. I mean, it just...
Kiki needs to come back.
We talk about how, like, all these guys get these big, huge contracts for regular season performances, but it doesn't seem like they get decent contracts for their postseason. Kiki is not going to break anybody's piggy bank. I think you could get Kiki for, like, 2 or 3 years. Decent amount of money. I don't think you have to go crazy on it, but what you do is you'll get a guy that you know is going to show up for you in the postseason. And I can't say that I ever saw, at least this season, obviously if we went back and looked at, like, you know, the last seasons that are in the postseason, I just don't remember Kike having bad at-bats. Like, his at-bats are really strong, and he knows when to jump on pitchers. And it just... I think it's nothing but a benefit to have a guy like that. Also, it seems like everybody loves him in the clubhouse. He breaks tension.
I think he's, like, meant to be a Dodger. I think there's just something about it. Like, money aside, I just don't think he plays. I don't think he plays anywhere else though, like he plays in L.A.
Yeah, I agree. No, he did have a really good postseason in Boston, but it just makes sense for him to stay as a Dodger. All right, so let's talk about my last player that I got on this list, which is Walker Big Game Buehler. Look, we hyped about Walker Buehler all season. I think we were probably his number one cheerleaders throughout his entire time that he was struggling to kind of figure out his command. Max, I know, was, as far as talking about his performance in the postseason, like what his stats look like. And when the postseason came, he gave the Dodgers what they needed. And you saw, even in the postseason, every start got a little bit better and a little bit better. And I know we can look at his numbers and we could talk about how, like, you look at the numbers, it didn't seem like he performed well against the Padres, but we've gone over this over and over and over again. The defense is what let him down. He probably should have only gave up 2 runs. Like, his numbers, they're just really good in the postseason. And we saw Walker Buehler come back into that form that we were looking for towards the end of the postseason. I think Buehler is going to be stellar next year. I think Buehler is going to, if you can get Buehler back for like another 3 or 4 year proven years, something like that. So that way, after the 4 years, he could still go and get another contract. I think it's beneficial for the Dodgers, and I think it's beneficial for Buehler. I honestly think, and I'm going to say this right now, if the Dodgers pick up Buehler and Buehler, you know, doesn't get hurt, I think Buehler is in the running for a Cy Young next year. I think I saw that kind of player come out in the postseason, and I think the Dodgers need to hold on to him, especially since he's Freeman's first draft pick. Like, the first pick he ever did as a Dodger. Like, come on. It just seems, it just makes the most sense for Buehler to stay with the Dodgers a little bit longer and kind of see what he can do.
Walker Buehler won us a World Series. Without Walker Buehler pitching the way he did in the World Series, that we don't win that.
I think it's fair to say, without the Yankees defense and Walker Buehler's pitching, the Dodgers do not win the World Series. That is a hot take, Mike. I agree with that.
Walker Buehler, obviously, you know, Freddie Freeman's historic home runs and hits, but without Walker Buehler playing at an elite level on the mound and coming into with relief, and he came in like, I'm still stunned at his when he closed the game out, like nobody was going to hit him, and I think he knew it.
Yeah,
he's got to come back. He won us. I mean, if it wasn't for him, I don't think we won a World Series. I mean, that we all know how depleted our rotation was.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping, in the back of my mind, Flaherty pitched strong all throughout the season, since we had him, I guess, at the trade deadline. And then he kind of struggled a little bit, but Buehler didn't. It kind of rolls reverse, and he, like as you mentioned, Robbie, he got stronger as each start went on, he got stronger. But again, his World Series performance, to me, I'd expect him to be a Dodger.
I hope he is.
I think it'd be dumb if we don't.
Yeah, I hope he is. And with Flaherty, like, I think what we saw with Flaherty in the postseason was just kind of like fatigue kind of coming on Flaherty. Flaherty pitched an entire season. And
we don't get the division without Flaherty, I think.
No, I agree with that. Absolutely. I agree with that. I don't have Flaherty on a re-sign on this list. Mostly because, look, we know the Dodgers are going after a very young, hot Japanese pitcher that everybody's trying to get this guy right now. So we're going to talk about him next episode. I just don't think, if I was to add Jack Flaherty to this list, then Clayton Kershaw would not be on the, I'm sorry, then Walker Buehler wouldn't be on this list. Because I just don't think there's room. Let's jump into, it's a nice little segue to jump into the six-man rotation, because when you go through how many starting pitchers the Dodgers already have, the fact that they're looking for more seems insane. But after the season that they just had, even the season they had prior to that, before the season starts, you look at their starting pitching, like, oh my God, they're so stacked. Look at all these guys. And then they all get hurt. And then you're like, oh man, we could always use more starting pitching. But if you go to a six-man rotation, and I wrote this down, you started it, and I think I finished it. So Otani's coming back. You got Otani, you got Glasnow, and you got Yamamoto, right? Those are for sure your three options that you're going to have in your starting rotation. Then you've got Gonsolin coming back, which might be a trade piece if I think about it. They could use Gonsolin as a trade piece, but we'll see. You got Gonsolin, Dustin May, supposed to be coming back. Then you got Gavin Stone. Then you've got Clayton Kershaw. So right there, I've just named seven starting pitchers that you have under contract. That's not including the hot Japanese pitcher that we know that the Dodgers are going to go try to get, which they might get. That's not including Walker Buehler that we want them to get, right? So that's nine starting pitchers I just named, which I'm probably assuming I'm forgetting about somebody.
Is Gavin Stone out all next year?
No. No, he's not. He's not having Tommy John surgery or anything like that. As far as I know, nothing's happened to him. I just named nine starting pitchers right now, and that's not including re-signing Jack Flaherty. So the Dodgers, you go to a six-man rotation, seven-man rotation, to be honest, like, go for it, whatever it is. Preserve the arms as long as possible and then dwindle it down to the postseason, and then you go, hey, you are four guys who are performing the best. You other three or four guys, boom, you're in the bullpen. Let's go. Let's win another World Series. I think that's the way that this league is going to go at some point, because with adding the pitch clock and everybody throwing 100 miles an hour,
the pitching injuries aren't sustainable for the league as a whole, and it's not going to be good for baseball. Right. I agree with you. They got to go to a 6-pound rotation to keep these guys healthy and just to keep a fair competitive balance.
Right. Well, they are. So what you put in here, according to GM Brandon Gomes, that the Dodgers are doing a six-man rotation.
Correct. I read that this morning on I mean, SI.com, there's an article where he mentioned he's going to six-man rotation in 2025.
To me, that is awesome. That is something that we've been advocating for all season.
You specifically.
And look, if I those pitchers I just named right now, you think I'm going to be bummed that the sixth man in the rotation's pitching that day? No. I'm not.
No.
They're all really good pitchers. And all that's going to do, I think, is going to preserve them. You're going to see less injuries, and you're going to see... I think you're going to see more dominant pitching from the Dodgers, in my opinion, by going by a six-man rotation. And you're going to see fresher arms in the postseason. You're not going to see a Jack Flaherty's arm kind of go out, like, because it seemed like it was going out. It seemed like it was going out through the postseason. I think it just took him longer for his arm to heal up before his next start. And that's why game one of the World Series looked really good. Game five looked terrible. I think it was game one in the NLCS. He looked really good. Game five looked terrible. I think he just needs more time to like rest his arm.
Yeah, I agree. I think also you get a six-man rotation, you're going to see some of these starting pitchers go longer than four innings.
Four innings would be ideal. It would be nice.
I think you get him in a five. If you got six-man rotation and you pitch every 6 days, I think you can get a starter to go
five or six or seven
innings. Yeah,
five for sure. Six to seven would be awesome.
I mean, not routinely, but I think a little bit more often than what we saw.
Sure.
Which obviously helps your bullpen out and helps the rest of the rest of the pitching staff.
Yeah.
But yeah, Robbie, I think we're looking good to repeat. Hopefully that happens. I do have faith in Dodgers management, and I don't think they're slowing down.
I was going to talk a little bit about Roberts not even being considered in the finalists for a manager of the year, which if I look at it, there's two ways you can look at it. There's one way you can look at it where it's like, man, he took a team that the starting pitching was falling off like crazy. You lost one of your best players, Mookie Betts, for a decent amount of time throughout the season. One of your other best players, Max Muncy, throughout a decent amount of time through the season. You're picking up, in a way, garbage players from other teams to fill in roles while you're waiting for these guys to get healed, and you still win the best record in the league. I feel like that's manager of the year.
Yeah, but it's hard. But on the other side,
I know. But on the other side, the team is so stacked that it's kind of like, dude, this should be easy for you.
They could have. I mean, to me,
not easy, but
yeah, the Dodgers could afford. Not that you want injuries, but the team is so stacked. It could afford to get through the season with injuries and still have the best record in baseball.
Yeah.
The team was built right. But with that being said, sounds like Doc's up for an extension.
Yeah, he should get it. You know, he's going to the Hall of Fame. He should definitely get it.
No comment.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode of Talking Dodgers. We had a lot more stuff on our docket that we could have talked about this episode.
Yeah, we'll get into it throughout the offseason.
Yeah, but yeah, we're going to hopefully the Dodgers make some moves before our next episode so we could talk about maybe like somebody on the off or like a free agent they picked up or something like that. Maybe
there's a bunch of jobs. If any of our listeners want to see us talk about anyone in particular that you'd like to see the Dodgers sign, drop us a note and we'll touch on that topic next episode.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of your World Series 2024 champions, Dodgers. Please click that like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus. Go check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/writeyourbrainmedia. All of your contribution helps us create content, helps us keep the lights on, helps us buy a cup of coffee, helps us stay awake so we can continue to make this content for you. And on that note, we will catch you next time.
Catch you on the flip side.